I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy as always to have you on board to the podcast wherever you're listening. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to check the show out here. If this is your first time, appreciate you stopping on by. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Leave that rating and a review. A lot to get to on today's edition of the podcast. So many news items happening in the world of BYU sports, so sit back and enjoy. We got a lot of ground to cover on today's show. Follow me on Twitter, @Mitch_Harper, Mitch Harper KSL on Instagram, and then @KSL Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for the brand account and the KSL Sports app. So do all of that. So here's what we got on tap. BYU versus Troy going to be kicking off here coming up on Saturday night. We'll get a look at the Troy Trojans with Troy head coach Chip Lindsey. He joined the KSL Unrivaled team earlier this week. I'll play that interview so you can get to know the foe, Chip Lindsey, the head coach of the Troy Trojans. Also, college football is back, baby. Yes, I know BYU's been playing for a month now. It feels like it's been forever since they last played, but Mountain West is back, Pac-12 is back, the MAC is back. All 10 conferences are set to play football this fall. What does it mean for BYU, and does it mean that more games will be added to the schedule? I'll hit on all of that, the good and the bad, with these conferences returning in regards to BYU football. Injury updates, some news and notes regarding the Cougars and the injury report heading into Saturday night. College football bowl games, name, image, likeness. Man, there's a lot of ground to cover. We'll start things off, though, with college football returning. Again, the Pac-12 announced they are returning to play this season. November 6th is their start date. They'll have a season beginning that first weekend in November. The Mountain West Conference, they're going to begin on October 24th, and the MAC will have a six-game season. Now, I think it's interesting that suddenly when the Big Ten Conference decided that it's safe to play, all these other conferences then suddenly realized, hey, it's safe for us too. It's okay for us to make this work as well. I'm happy because I'll tell you, college football this season has just felt weird. Watching these Saturday games and you're thinking, man, the slate is already over and it's only 8:30 at night. Where's my late-night BYU game? Where's my late-night Pac-12 game? My late-night Mountain West Conference game? I need my West Coast football. But they're all back, and it's a good thing. It really is, because the good for BYU, as we kind of size up what this means for BYU football, the good is that it has more scheduling opportunities for the Cougars. Yes, more opportunities to get games for BYU, and that's a really good thing because it's been a minute since BYU added some games. They've left that November schedule open for a reason. Tom Homo mentioned a couple weeks back that the possibility of adding games in season could be in play. That's already been the case with Louisiana Tech getting added and now potentially November games. So some news on Friday emerged as Craig Thompson, who discussed the Mountain West Conference's return to football, he mentioned that it's going to be a conference-only schedule. However, there's a few teams they're going to play some non-conference matchups. Most notably, Air Force is going to have the Army and Navy games. Commander-in-Chief, you got to take care of those, definitely. But the other team is Boise State. Well, who are they going to play? You guessed it. BYU could potentially be on Boise State's schedule this season in 2020. This was Craig Thompson on the possibility that BYU and the Broncos could square off this fall.
There's the potential that a Boise State-BYU previously scheduled game could be played. Other than that, it'll be all conference. Not necessarily the opponents that were on the scheduled 2020 slate before the pandemic. And everyone is scheduled to play a maximum of 8 games with the exception of the Air Force situation with Army and Navy potentially could be 9.
That's huge for BYU. To add Boise State potentially to the 2020 schedule would be a massive upgrade for the Cougars. It just would. I mean, one, because it's kind of become a rivalry. BYU and Boise are playing annually every year since 2012. Coming up, they're going to be renewing the rivalry in a new series agreement beginning in 2025 all the way to 2034. These teams are going to basically span 2 decades playing each other every single season except one. And maybe it could be 2 if they don't end up playing this year, but I got to think they want to make it work. I think Boise wants to make it work. Because let's face it, if you're the Broncos, you want to have BYU on the docket rather than Wyoming. I mean, Utah State. That just doesn't conjure up any sort of television audience. BYU and Boise could maybe get a good CBS game. Maybe if the two teams are undefeated or they're playing well, maybe they could be on a network CBS game. It's possible. Anything's out there for the taking in 2020. Don't rule anything out with college football this year. And get as many games as you can. As long as it can be healthy and safe for these student-athletes, make it work. Do this thing. Let's make it happen. So that's a positive. The other good thing about all these leagues returning in regards to BYU is that BYU's 2021 schedule will remain intact, most likely. The possibility of the Pac-12, the Mountain West playing in the springtime, that was going to make things a little bit dicey for BYU next season. Because if these leagues would have played in the springtime, most certainly they were not going to play a full 12-game schedule in the fall of 2021. Now that they're moving their schedules to the fall this year, that means it's going to be status quo, hopefully. Hopefully this pandemic is not impacting everything in 2021. I hope and pray, please. That 12-game schedule that features 5 Pac-12 teams, 2 Mountain West Conference teams, probably going to stay intact now. And that's huge. Because more than half of the schedule in 2021 is made up of Pac-12 and Mountain West Conference teams. How crazy is that? BYU is basically going to be a glorified Pac-12 member next year. They've got 5 teams from the Pac-12 in 2021. Arizona and Allegiant Stadium in Vegas. They've got Utah on the schedule as well. That's going to be a game in Provo. Arizona State comes to Provo. Hopefully these games stay intact. I hope that some of these programs like Arizona State don't say, okay, we're backing out now because you didn't play the game in 2020 due to the pandemic. I hope none of that is happening. I hope. I mean, it's tough to replace games on short notice. There's not going to be many options if they do pull out. So I would have to think they're going to probably remain intact, but you never know. Boise State's going to come to Provo next year. Baylor on the road, Washington State on the Palouse, first time ever for BYU doing that. Virginia comes to Provo, Idaho State, Georgia Southern at USC. Goodness, that is a loaded schedule. I mean, I feel like it's a broken record, but every year, the schedule for BYU Independence just gets better and better. that schedule next year, except for Idaho State, those are all good football games. They're great football games, to be quite honest. I mean, that is a dang good schedule, and that stays intact with these teams going to a fall schedule amidst the pandemic in 2020. Now, there is some bad, though, and here's the bad reason or bad side of this for BYU with the MWC and Pac-12 and all the other leagues returning. No longer the only team out west. I know that seems kind of shallow. It's like, to me, as a football junkie, I want other options out west. Believe me, I do. But I think BYU kind of love that whole, we're the only thing out in the West Coast. I think they like that a lot. When you talk about exposure, they were getting that in bunches. That was a nice little selling point out there on the West Coast. That now goes away. Bowl opportunities are now going to shrink. And I'll talk a little bit more about the bowl games coming up, but now it's just going to go to the P5 tie-ins. Before, with only a handful of leagues playing, there was a great opportunity maybe that BYU could slide into a Vegas bowl, maybe get a Power 5 opponent. It still could be on the docket, maybe. Maybe ESPN can make something work and move things around to get BYU, if they are undefeated, into a really good matchup against a P5 team in the postseason. But now, those opportunities are going to be few and far between. And finally, the last bad thing would be they could get squeezed out of the AP Top 25 poll. This Sunday, all of the teams from the Pac-12, the Big Ten, every league, they'll all be included. Mountain West, all of them. So BYU, even if they crush Troy and look good doing it, I think that if they do look good, they're going to stay, but they could still be squeezed out just because well, you know, Ohio State's getting in, as they should. Penn State's getting in, as they should. But it becomes maybe an interesting debate of, do you put Utah, who was a preseason number 22 before the season started, do they catapult BYU just because they're Utah and they've had a lot more success recently in the Pac-12? It'll be interesting. If BYU takes care of business against Troy and they're 2-0 and they win decisively against the Trojans, that will be an interesting storyline coming up on Sunday to see if BYU remains in the AP Top 25. But that's the good and the bad, though. And I think the good, for the most part, outweighs the bad, because you want more games, and ultimately look beyond 2020 when we hopefully get back to normal life. That's what matters more. 2021 remains intact. And I don't think enough people were talking about that, because spring football would have brought significant impact to BYU in 2021. But there you go. That's the good and the bad with these college football leagues returning this fall. You can read all of the latest on those leagues and the storylines, the video, the press conferences. It's all on KSLSports.com, our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages as well. And staying with college football, I mentioned it earlier, the bowl games. So the NCAA wants to pass legislation this year amidst the pandemic to waive the bowl eligibility requirements. Now, if you're not familiar with those, you need a 500 record against FBS teams to qualify for a bowl game. Pretty standard, right? Go 6-6, you're going to a bowl game. Well, this year, because of the pandemic and all the craziness and the smaller schedules, and some leagues are playing 10 games, some are playing 12, some are playing 6, some are playing 8. It's just a hodgepodge mess. There's no requirement minimums for bowl games this season. Say what? You could be seeing, I'm just throwing this out there, you could see maybe a winless team in a bowl game. You could see maybe a one-win team. Hey, in the SEC, all 14 of those teams are going to a bowl game. Guaranteed. Arkansas, you're going to go to a bowl game. It's just what's going to happen probably, and this is going to be interesting for BYU. These bowl games are now just going to look at the brands and the conferences and try to lock them up. Now, hopefully they just stick with the bowl tie-ins for the most part. But I think this is going to lead to, who cares about what they did in the regular season? If it's just the Camellia Bowl, let's try to get the biggest brand we can. It's not going to be about, let's get the best teams. Let's just get the biggest brand that maybe is going to give the biggest TV audience. Because I doubt many fans, if any, are going to be allowed to go to these games. And I don't think there's going to be much of an appetite for people to go to these bowl games this year, which clearly mean nothing. Nothing. This whole season really means nothing. Let's face it. I mean, this is a glorified exhibition to the max. You know, even if you get to the playoff, you get to the top 25, whatever you do, it's all with an asterisk. It is a big, fat asterisk. But let's all play it. We enjoy it. No doubt about it. But it's weird. And no one's going to be wanting to go to bowl games. So I think it's just going to be about like, hey, you get 3-6 Nebraska, we're taking you. 3-5 Nebraska, 2-6, 1-7 Purdue, we'll take you over an App State. I mean, that's what it might be, I think. And hopefully BYU doesn't get squeezed down. That's why I think BYU needs to roll. Win big, pile up as many wins as you can to really make a case like, hey, ESPN, get us in a decent bowl game to play a halfway decent opponent in the bowl season. But again, though, it's all exhibition. It's all just kind of a cash grab to save everyone's athletic departments. I know. COVID-19, keeping everyone safe, the instant testing, and believe me, that's a big reason. I think, the President Trump getting involved a little bit, maybe that had some sway too. I don't know. Saying that he had the opportunity to maybe provide resources to make this thing come back, who knows? But I think that money and saving these athletic departments, they want to get that TV money now. Because I think in this month, these athletic departments are going, where are we going to replace this money now? Who's going to fill the gaps now? Yeah, they weren't going to. So now, they're going to be playing some bowl games, and they're going to be doing whatever they can to recuperate some of the lost cost during this pandemic. So, it's going to be interesting. Bowl season actually might be compelling in a way, just because of how weird it's going to be. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully BYU can keep up their winning ways coming up on Saturday, 8:15 kickoff against the Troy Trojans. And to talk about Troy and get to know the Trojans, KSL's Unrivaled caught up with the head coach of the Trojans, Chip Lindsey. He's got a lot of respect for BYU. This is their interview with Chip Lindsey, head coach of the Troy Trojans. It's all here on KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now at KSL's Unrivaled, he's Troy's head coach, Chip Lindsey, on the horn here with us. Coach, thanks for being with us.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you having me.
So, the trip to Provo, of course, we were talking about all the postponements. Of course, today, everybody looking at the Wake Forest-Notre Dame game. There was last week where Dana Holgorsen, the head coach of Houston, was not happy with the 20-hour notice when Houston was there and the Baylor game got postponed for them. This has been a strange year, of course. How do you approach all of these games with your guys preparation-wise and then getting them ready for games like this where you just don't know an outcome or you don't know if you're going to even travel until a few days beforehand?
Yeah, I think it's obviously an unusual year, to say the least. And I think what we try to do is just tell our team, hey, understand that this is going to be one of those years that some crazy things could happen one way or another. And all we can control, are the things that we can control, which is our football team. And so we just prepare each and every week and each and every day and try to, take all the precautions we can to keep our team safe and really just try to focus on improving every day. And then I think everything else kind of falls into place.
Coach, under normal circumstances, if you were traveling to BYU, you'd be preparing your team to go into a 65,000-seat stadium with very loud fans, and now you're preparing your team to go into a stadium with no fans. We've never been faced with these kind of circumstances before, so I'm curious how you prepare your team for a road game that's different than any other road game they've prepared for.
Well, yeah, that's a great point, and it's never been done before. So I guess the best approach I'm taking is we got our hands full with the guys that are on the field that we're going to play against. So I think we're just trying to focus on that, because really, if you think about it, it's no different than going to practice or a scrimmage, you know, in a stadium during fall camp or whenever you're doing stuff. I don't think it's as big a difference. You know, last week we played on the road, and it was a really light crowd. Not even sure what the restrictions were where we were, but I just think for our players, you got to, you know, bring your own energy and treat it like maybe a scrimmage in the stadium. But obviously we're facing a lot better opponent than we would normally. So we got our hands full with the guys that are on the field, and we're not really kind of going to focus on how many guys are there, how many fans are there for sure.
BYU, of course, a very different opponent, as you've pointed out, in terms of like Troy ever coming to Provo. That was never something that was going to be in the mix until 2020, where we start to look around and say, hey, who's up? Who wants to play? So what'd you think about that game, getting signed up for playing BYU in Provo?
Well, we're excited. I mean, we got tons of respect for BYU, for sure. I know me growing up here, even in the state of Alabama, just keeping up with, you know, the LaBelle Edwards teams and all the great quarterbacks there, you know, Robbie Bosco, Jim McMahon, Ty Detmer. You know, I always admired those people. I was a receiver growing up, and people that threw the ball in the late 80s and early 90s kind of, you know, I made sure I watched those guys. So it's kind of the home of the air raid, the original air raid offense, which is what we do, and it's something I've been doing for a long time. So I'm excited and looking forward to it. I know it's a big challenge for us. They got a really good football team, and we'll have our hands full. But I know our players are really excited about the opportunity to play them.
You know, I love that you just dropped the Robbie Bosco. That means you've done your research. You know a little BYU football history.
I'm old. You know what? I'm old, man. I turned 46 this year, I've been a football fan forever. I like keeping up with traditions all over the country, and I got a chance to work out west some, you know, Arizona State. So I was, I just enjoy college football. It's a unique game at this level, and it's always fun to keep up with the pageantry all over the country.
So leading into that, I wanted to ask you about your quarterback. Gunnar Watson had the start game one. What can you tell us about him, and what did you think of his performance in your opener?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good start for him. I mean, he's never played before, so it was exciting to get him a start under his belt. And I thought he played pretty good for a first start. You know, obviously some things we've got to clean up, but was just really pleased with how he handled himself. I know our team believes in him, and he's an awesome kid, great kid, hardworking, tough guy. He got all the intangibles you like. And I think he's going to get better and better each week, and hopefully he'll continue to play well this weekend.
Coach, this is the radio station that's the home of BYU, so nobody's really listening. You can tell us all your secrets. So where I wanted to go with this was, what'd you see in that Navy game? Because I think all of us, even here in the media market, were absolutely blown away, surprised by that game. What did you see in that game that you went either uh-oh or hold on, we can do something with this?
No. It was a lot of uh-ohs, to be honest with you. Those guys played really well. I was very, very impressed. I just think it's a big physical team. They're very well coached, very disciplined, play extremely hard. I mean, they're just a blue-collar-looking group. And, I was very impressed. And obviously Navy's a lot different than we are offensively, so hard to get a whole lot from it. But what you saw is you saw a team travel all the way across the country and play really well, and I think that's impressive no matter who you're playing, the fact that you can do that. So we're challenging our team to do the same, you know, to go across the country and play as well as we can play and compete and get after it.
As you're preparing for BYU, watching their film, what are your thoughts on their starting quarterback, Zach Wilson?
He's a really good player. He's, I'm somewhat familiar with him from a distance, and I think he's obviously, I think he's got over 20 starts, maybe something like that, so he's a veteran. I think he completes a lot of passes, and he's a good enough athlete to make plays with his feet. And I think he's very comfortable with what they do on offense. I think that's pretty obvious, and really impressed with him. I think he's a really good football player.
The head coach of Troy football, Chip Lindsey, joining us here on the horn here on KSL's Unrivaled. Coach, one of the things before we let you go here, I want to know what, you know, with this game coming up on Saturday and then things have just been changing so much for you guys. What does this game mean that you guys can play this football game on Saturday in a venue that you had no clue that you would even be a part of this year?
Yeah, I think it's kind of exciting. It's a little bit like high school football. You know, I was a high school coach for a long time where maybe you get in the playoffs, you don't know who you're playing, and all of a sudden you figure out, you know, 6 days before you play where you're going and how to get there and all those things. So a little bit like that, but it's exciting. I mean, I think our players come to Troy for the opportunity to play, you know, different people from different places all over the country, and this is another example of that. And we're excited to, like I said, to get this opportunity and looking forward to it.
Well, there you go. That was Chip Lindsey, head coach of the Troy Trojans. I hope you enjoyed that interview. Big thanks to Unrivaled, Alex Keery holding it down, interviewing Coach Lindsey. By the way, this song, I don't know, how many of you play Fortnite? Tweet at me, @Mitch_Harper. How many of you do you play Fortnite? I don't really play. It's the one game I just can't wrap my mind around, but my kids love it. My two oldest sons, they love Fortnite. And honestly, I'm a parent that I want my kids to have passions in life. Like, and they don't have to be the same as me. Like, I'm not one of those parents that's just harping down their throat, like, you gotta like BYU. You gotta like college sports. You have to like what I like. Like, I want them to find what naturally they enjoy. That's one of the things that I did as a kid where I naturally just, I loved college football as a young kid. I loved college basketball. I loved sports in general just as a young kid. Reading media guides from cover to cover, that was just my passion. And for my kids, you know, playing Fortnite and playing games and Pokemon and, you know, Switch, like, that's their things they like. But I keep hearing this Dynamite song all the time on Fortnite. It's just, like, in my head, so I had to play it. Bumping in back here, Dynamite by, gosh, I don't even know who the band is, BTS or something, I don't know. Anyway, Fortnite, that's one of those games I'm just confused by. Like, it makes me feel old. Like, I can't wrap my mind around it. I'm not good at it. You get a Mario game on, I'm set. You get Animal Crossing on, I'm set. You get some, even like a freaking Call of Duty, I can handle that. But Fortnite, I can't do it. I don't know why. I just can't play Fortnite. Anyway, maybe it's because I don't have much time. I keep busy with BYU stuff. And BYU is keeping me busy with all the news that's been happening around the Cougar football program, along with getting ready for the Troy Trojans coming up on Saturday night, which will be an empty stadium. Going to be a really interesting atmosphere to see a BYU game with no fans. It's weird. It's going to be so strange to see. But what's also going to be strange is not seeing some key guys like Chaz Ayu. Chaz Ayu out for the year with a pre-existing lower leg injury that he had surgery on Friday. So Chaz is out for the season, and he joins a list of guys that include Matt Bushman, Jackson McChesney, Hinkley Ropati, all out for the year. Uriah Leotawa, he's also out for an extended period of time. We talked a long time ago about him in fall camp. He could be back maybe in the back end of October, potentially, so keep that in mind. And then Tristan Hodge, he's out with COVID, a pneumonia, but symptoms that stem from after experiencing a bout with COVID during that week when the game against Army was postponed. And Marty Hodge gave a really impassioned conversation speech, if you will, sharing his experience seeing his son go through COVID-19. And I got to say, just speaking from myself personally, and you've heard me here on the show, I've really thought that, you know, with, and I think the stats and the data suggest how I feel is the correct. Because again, I want to look at data and numbers here regarding COVID-19. Feelings can taint the perspective, the big picture of where we're going forward as a society. Believe me, we got to move forward as a society, in my opinion. At some point, we can't just continue to always hunker down and shut everything down in life. That's just my feeling on it. But you do hear these stories about
unpaid student athletes having pneumonia, it kind of just makes you pause a little bit. And Marty Hodge is a guy, he's going to shoot it straight. And that's what I love about the guy. And his commentary in that video he shared on Twitter, just kind of gives you some more empathy, I think, for what these football players, any student athlete, any people that are on the front lines in any profession that are going out and about, that can't just simply shut down and stay at home, what they do amidst this pandemic. It's a challenging thing. And any game that can be played is quite the accomplishment. So BYU is going to be down some guys, and there's going to be a few other individuals out with COVID-19, but that's to be expected. I mean, that's just going to happen. It'd be great if BYU like released a list of just the number of players, not necessarily specific names, because we can piece that together, but just release the number of cases. I think just maybe having a little bit more transparency, but hey, they're a private school. They have every right to keep it tight and close to the vest because for privacy reasons for the athletes. So not a problem there on my end. It's just something that's going to be challenging and going to pose some difficulties against a Troy team that I think will be very confident going up against BYU. They're not going to be intimidated by any means against this BYU team. Very up-tempo offense. The receivers that Troy has will create some challenges. Chris Wilcox is going to come back for BYU at the cornerback spot. Him and Keenan Ellis will be probably anchoring those cornerback spots. Troy Warner getting some run at safety with Zane Anderson. Kavika Fanua, he could be a hybrid guy, but you know, BYU will have some questions. They'll have a tough test against this Troy offense. Now, I think BYU should win this football game, but I do think Troy will score points. I really do. I think they're going to put up a good number of points, in fact. And last year, they kind of struggled against teams outside the Sun Belt Conference, but I think that they feel pretty optimistic and confident. There's just the experience that they have at the skill positions, at B.J. Smith, at running back. I love their receivers. I think Troy will put up some points on BYU, but I think the Cougars ultimately win, though. But losing Chaz Alu is a bummer. The good thing is that with the blanket waiver with eligibility, he's still got 3 years to play, too. So, and we saw great film from Chaz Alu, who's been banged up. I mean, remember, back in March, he had a shoulder surgery. Then he's got surgery on a lower leg injury. So, get healthy, Chaz. Like, take care of you. Be 100%, come back, run it back in the springtime, and get ready to go for 2021 and beyond, because Chaz Alu's got NFL ability. He's got an NFL ceiling, NFL potential. He's a big-time athlete. I mean, that fourth down play he made against Navy, not everyone at BYU can do that. That's next-level ability that Chaz Alu has, and he can play at linebacker, he can play at safety, he can do a lot of different things. There's a reason why the entire West Coast wanted that guy. Because he is a special and gifted athlete. We've seen that since he was a sophomore in high school. And Chaz is a heck of a football player. So he gets healthy, gets right. He'll be back and ready to go and still have 3 years to play, too, in his BYU career beginning in 2021. But injuries are a problem. Is it simply BYU's strength and conditioning program? Some have said that. Do you wonder if it's COVID-19 related, where this crazy year where it's the routines are just rattled? I mean, keep that in mind. Routines matter for these athletes more than, I mean, anything in life, honestly. Routines are so critical. And to just suddenly say, nope, you're not practicing as a team 1 week, you're just doing everything virtual, you're doing 10 to 15 people groups, that just, it rattles the system. And who knows? Maybe it's causing the injuries. We're seeing that in the NFL. A ton of injuries happen. Is it a fluke? I hope so. But for BYU, it's a growing trend. I don't think you can chalk things up to a fluke. I think a lot more people would lean towards it's an institutional problem at BYU inside that program because of all the injuries they've experienced. But I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt here and say maybe it could be COVID-related in this instance, just because there's been a long layoff this year, this month. 19 days between games, who knows? So, but it's a bummer. And BYU is losing some talented guys. I mean, you throw this team with IU, Bushman, McChesney, Hinkley, Rapati. Dang. That's, and how they looked against Navy, 55-3. Woo. Man, BYU, they are snake bit. I swear, they are a snake bit team they don't just get the deep on the depth chart guy suffering a season ender. It's critical key pieces to the program. But that's life. You got to move forward. Next man up. And BYU's got the depth. They got the personnel necessary to still navigate the schedule and still have success. But they will give up points against Troy. I feel people are sleeping on the Trojans just a skosh heading in to this game. 8:15 kickoff, 6 o'clock pregame on KSL News Radio. Myself, Matt Biamonte, we'll go from 6 o'clock to 6:15 and then toss it over to Greg Rubel and his crew for network coverage of BYU versus Troy. Last thing before we get out on this edition of the show, name, image, and likeness. You're going, why does that matter? What is that? Well, it's huge. It is a big piece to what college sports is going to be in the future. And now BYU is in a great spot. They've partnered with Open Doors, kind of the leading company on social media for name, image, and likeness. And what name, image, and likeness is it's a term used by the NCAA. And most likely starting in the academic year of 2021-2022, student-athletes are going to be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. And this company can help these athletes in all the sports at BYU capitalize off their name, image, and likeness. I think it's fantastic. It's a great deal. Open Doors partnering with BYU, I think it'll be a good thing. Because, look, we see it in the day and age of influencers. In social media, influencers matter. I mean, do you really go to Hollywood stars anymore for tips on things? Like, you're going to influencers. You go to YouTube, how-to videos, social media embeds, posts. I mean, it's insane the value that individual brands, and if you're interesting enough, what you can have and what you can make in the social media space. And college athletes, especially at a place like BYU, that has as rabid of a fan base as anyone on the West Coast, a little bit different in the SEC, like Joe Schmo SEC fan blows away Joe Schmo BYU fan. Look, you know I love Cougar fans, but it's a different level and a different type of fan in the SEC than it is at BYU. BYU fans, the positive here, very well-educated, technologically savvy. They know their technology. They got the latest devices. They're passionate. Entrepreneurs. They got money, disposable income for the most part. Look, BYU could be a real game changer. Name, image, likeness could be huge for BYU. It really could. And I don't want to see necessarily recruits just picking BYU for the name, image, likeness factor, but you can't tell me that that's not going to weigh into some decisions potentially for a recruit. Like, if you're a kid that gets offered by BYU, and let's say you got a bunch of Mountain West programs, maybe like a Oregon State, you know, the typical offer sheet for a lot of BYU recruits. Why would you not pick BYU over any of those? Like, BYU's got a much larger fan base. And say, name, image, likeness, you can profit and go have a clinic in the off season. You mean to tell me like parents aren't going to send their BYU loving kids to go have a clinic with Zach Wilson, a quarterback clinic? Yeah, he's going to get Muko bucks, and rightfully so. He should have that opportunity if he so wishes to. Does he want to start a vlog? Any of these guys want to start a vlog? Go ahead, do it. You mean to tell me BYU fans aren't going to scoop that up? Yeah, they're going to watch it in droves. Now, New Mexico? Probably not, unless you're a basketball player and you're really good, but most likely no. Maybe Boise State a little bit, but even their fan base is a little bit overinflated. They don't even sell at their own stadium. BYU fans are passionate, and they maybe don't always go to the games. And you guys know this listening because you're pretty much all Cougar fans. But you guys are a passionate group, and you love your team, and you're going to follow it every day, day in and day out. Name, image, likeness could be huge. And having this partnership with Open Doors, I think, helps all these athletes, student athletes, with trying to profit off their name, image, likeness. It's going to be a huge component, I think, going forward for the era of college sports. I think BYU is very well positioned to have a lot of success in that space going forward, particularly out west, because I stack up the BYU fan base against anyone in college sports out west. Maybe Oregon is second, USC right there as well, just in terms of numbers. But the passion, BYU is top-notch. It's top-notch, and it's got a following around the world. I'm preaching to the choir. You guys know that. So that's going to do it, though, for this edition of the Cougar Tracks podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, @Mitch_Harper, Instagram, MitchHarperKSL, and follow KSL Sports on all the social channels, @KSLSports. We'll be back tomorrow with a special edition game day podcast here on Cougar Tracks. 5 things to know heading into BYU versus Troy. So be on the lookout for that on Saturday leading up to kickoff between the Cougars and the Trojans. And you can listen to the game on KSL News Radio. Pre-game coverage begins at 6 o'clock. And check out KSLSports.com for all the latest in the world of BYU football. So talk to you then here on the Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.